Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
To the official Hat Chat Harry Potter podcast with the super fans of Harry Potter, Hat Films.
I'm impressed how well they, Edward, aka Filbert Picklesworth, jammed that into that style. I mean, like, that was impressive. Wow. Intricate.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk about Harry Potter now? This is.
There is actually some news
right
about
the
Harry
intros,
Potter.
I guess
I can tell you about later.
Oh yes, save it for the news section.
Okay, God, it's an
welcome
early.
Welcome to,
yeah. Go on, sorry, Trot.
Episode 84. Let's just get this out of the way. Yep. Episode 84 of the Hat Chat podcast. We're your hosts, Chris Trot,
Ross Hornby,
Alex Smith. It's really early. It's 11 o'clock.
It's earlier than normal.
It was when you cut off there. It wasn't a gap in the internet time or ping. Mm. It was just my brain.
Yeah.
Just registering what you were saying just then.
Okay. This is an early one. Right. I have no coffee in my house either, so I'm desperately trying to make tea wake me up.
He's trying to get high in other ways.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this would be a great coffee day, and I don't have any left.
Damn it.
You roll the dice on McDonald's. Will the coffee machines work today?
or am I going to have to awkwardly be the guy that speeds through the drive-thru?
Yeah. Oh, your McFlurry machine's
not working.
I can't
believe this. How could you do this to me? I'm a customer.
Why are you reversing out the drive-thru? Christ, just go forward.
This is disgusting. I can't believe this. You're McDonald's. You don't have any milkshakes. It's disgusting. Disgusting.
There's a man smashing the front windows. I'm not sure why. Something to do
really
with coffee.
Really annoyed about the coffee machine.
That is annoying, though.
Well, yeah, but it's annoying to you.
It's
but
first
I mean,
world
like,
problem.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I got that sometimes when I used to work at McDonald's. People would just be like, "You're kidding me! You are absolutely kidding me!" And I get, obviously, I felt like that because when you're hungry or when you're thirsty or whatever, like, and you want a certain thing and you're really excited about it and you go through, I understand, you know, you're really disappointed, you're annoyed that you've wasted the time queuing, but ultimately, just think of the guy in the window, you know, he didn't break the machine.
Yeah, you shouldn't have punched him. Is all.
Well,
you didn't have to punch him.
Maybe they didn't make their coffee so
hot.
It
wouldn't
hurt so much when I threw it back in the window.
True.
That's the thing. That's all I was buying the coffee for, just to throw it back.
Jesus Christ.
So, it is cold outside, thank you.
But yeah, we are the number one Harry Potter podcast.
Yeah.
And
no way.
We're here. Thank you so much to Edward, aka Filbert Picklesworth, who sent that to us, who is actually a student composer.
Wow.
I thought I'd do a little bit of what they sent in their email.
Oh, good.
They've
okay.
been classically trained, which I think you can tell, considering how many notes they fit into that finger, which they'd made in a couple hours, which is nuts. And they said, if there's any other musical genre style, give them one, we'll give it a go. So
reggae.
Reggae. But with classical, like Beethoven style
before, didn't you?
Orchestra.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you. As always, huge thanks to our Patreon supporters who are keeping us going. Mm-hmm. And through these, you know, difficult, uncertain, unprecedented times, we very much appreciate it. You also get the ad-free version, and you get to choose the hypothetical of the week. Oh. The question that we talk about for the first half of the podcast. So, Alex, have you got it there?
First hypothetical, chosen by our wonderful Patreon supporters, is what if you could not make your own decisions? Really weirdly put there, but you had to choose someone else to make them for you. Who would you choose and why? So basically, you're having to choose somebody to make all of your decisions for you. Who is that person?
Yeah. There's a thing you can get done with the government where you essentially elect two people or one person to manage entirely your finances,
right,
and your bank account for you. I can't remember.
Is this
what
like a
called
conservatorship?
Something like that.
And a bit like right of attorney as well. There are various...
It's basically like you aren't good with your money or you aren't good with your decision-making and therefore you need someone else to take ownership of
that. This is what happened to Britney Spears. So Britney Spears was...
Conservatorship.
Yeah, was put into one of these. But you're wondering what it would be like if it was a good thing.
I'm not saying that.
If it's a good thing.
I'm saying that it exists. Yeah. It exists where other people can make decisions for you, but what if every single decision you ever make, like, do I get out of bed?
So I'm guessing this has to happen, right? Because I can't imagine anyone would choose this. Like, literally,
you know, you have to do it.
Right.
You just can't make your own decisions anymore, and someone else has to do it. Why would you both pick me?
Well, I mean, I feel bad for the person who had to make the decisions, because that's a job. That's a full-time situation of like, okay, you need to do this. But how are they going to get on with their day if they're constantly choosing decisions for you? So you need to choose someone who you maybe don't... Well, but
has no life.
That, sure, but also someone who's responsible, because you don't want them to be like, well, I'm going to make this jackass walk into a main road, busy traffic. So you don't want someone who's going to fuck with you or like, you know...
Which way should I run in traffic today?
Yeah.
Flow or with the flow?
Yeah. I mean, imagine like Johnny Knoxville being in charge of your decision. You would just be, you know, the number one star on Jackass. He would make you do everything. And you'd be like, well, yeah, I guess I've got to go, you know, roll in a pile of pins or whatever shit they do now.
Wow.
That was in a wrestling thing I saw the other day. Trot showed me. It was pretty brutal.
Were they also breaking bulbs over each other's backs?
When they had, I think, Mankind sprinkle a load of... safety pins.
Oh, it was the classic pins. Undertaker throwing Mankind off
thumbtacks,
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and they rolled him.
Oh, classic.
It's just, oh, fuck, that does look, it was like a Home Alone trap, like, it was, but still.
It really was.
It looked effective enough to be like, ooh,
spectacle.
That doesn't look good. Oof, he's going to have those little thumbtacks just a little bit in his skin, that's going to sting.
Did it make him bleed?
Did it get stuck in his body?
Yeah, there was some blood, yeah.
Is this old stuff?
It was a bucket filled with...
It's old.
Right, old. Okay.
It's
yeah.
the classic, like, second ever Hell in the Cell where Undertaker... It's that meme that went over, like, Reddit for ages where they do, like, a big copy-pasta about, like, really important information. And it's like, and that's when Undertaker threw Mankind off the cell in Hell in the Cell.
Right.
That's that match.
Right.
But, yeah, holy shit. They messed each other up for that one. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yes.
You wouldn't have Mankind or Undertaker...
Or Johnny Knoxville.
Why was he called Mankind?
Because that's just one of his characters, like really crazy masked.
Did he represent all of
mankind? He had three characters.
It's good point. What's the story behind it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Too much about him.
Okay.
Just that he's a bit wacky.
All right. Wacky man.
I don't think there's
man.
Much in it.
What if you could not make your own decisions? I don't know who I would choose. This is a really difficult. I mean, ultimately, you're giving up your agency to another person. So it's like choose your keeper. Isn't it? I would clone myself.
You would clone yourself to
can
just
I do
be,
that?
Well, I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, I sometimes I hate making decisions.
You don't get to make that decision. Your carer does.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you don't get to.
We're going to clone you. Oh.
If there was someone dedicated to making the right decisions, or like you said earlier on with financial decisions, sure, like going, oh, you should buy this because it will, you know, be a good investment, or I don't know. But. Yeah, but maybe a clone of yourself to then just be... That's all they do is monitor. They're just sat there with a like a monitor watching everything you do and just like left and right decisions.
I think I'd pick
that decision.
Someone like Craig because he works with us already and he could just like make me make content just by asking me to. Mm-hmm. He would be there filming it anyway and editing it. And also I feel like he's a little bit conservative in terms of making decisions and being frugal and being good with his, you know, not being reckless. So I'd be safe, or maybe too safe.
But what
maybe
if he realized how? What if he realized it doesn't really affect his life if he makes you make a crazy decision? So he could make the best content because you were willing to go a lot further than you would normally,
above and beyond.
So he's like, yeah, that's okay, the thing. Just I jump think Craig into this would, pile of steaming dog shit for the meme, for the joke. And then you're like, well, I would normally say no to this, but he's made me do it. And now you're covered in dog shit and
I can never
feathers.
See Craig doing it. I can never see Craig doing it. Every time we make stuff that's like a little bit beyond Craig's threshold, he's like, oh, I don't know about this, guys. Maybe we shouldn't. Yeah. So I think I'd do very pedestrian stuff in his hands.
Well,
you'd be
walking,
holding the camera.
A lot of walking. Pedestrian.
A lot of walking. Just enjoying life and... Here I am enjoying this tree today. Mm-hmm. Nice tree. No, I do sketches and stuff, I imagine.
Yeah.
Like funny sketches with dad jokes littered throughout.
All dad jokes.
Yeah.
That's the decision making.
Just constant.
What about the decision whether you should wipe your ass or not? Do you know how many things like that when it comes down to the details?
He'd cater to it. I think he would.
He'd be like, no, hop in the shower, mate. Wash that bad boy off fully. Make the right decision. Your day suddenly becomes quite the chore. You're doing everything the long way around.
Yeah, you've got to do a handstand to wipe your ass. Like, what if it got? Right. What if the person in charge of you made you do like really complex physical things that you weren't really capable of? So it's like
it could force you to get fit.
Do a handstand, and then you're like, I can't do handstands. It's like, go on, keep trying, and like you just hurt yourself over and over, and then eventually you're handstanding against a wall, wiping your own ass, and you're like, thanks, Craig.
It's like a Mr. Meese
still Craig in my
situation,
mind.
Right?
It's an interesting situation because, like, you don't get to respond, do you?
No, you just got to
do
it.
Or
do
you?
In this scenario, it seems like, no,
you're not really living
your
life anymore.
No.
You're just, like, subject to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a bit sucky.
And
so
also,
I don't really
like, they're
Craig.
On a power trip as well, like, controlling you like a puppet.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't pick Ross because of the things he said.
No.
Mostly about tarring
the
and
dog
feathering
shit
and
with the feathers.
The dog shit.
That was a new one. That just happened in my head. And
right.
I would make you do it.
You would. And you'd film it.
Yeah.
And you'd edit it and have a gleeful smile on your face as you watch back the feathering with the dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really funny moment.
What would that smile look like? What sort of gleeful smile? like you're looking at like a funny video. Like
you'd force me to watch it as well, wouldn't you?
You'd watch it back, while still in the cold poo all over you. You'd
cold,
be, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, look at the monitor. That's great. Is it? Look, you are. You're completely dumped in it. You're like, please don't make me do it again. I'm like, no, stay where you are. You have no decision making. I'm your controller.
Week six, and Chris Trott still hasn't wiped his ass.
Please.
Only because I've forgotten to tell him.
Oh my god, I've forgotten this whole time.
Oh shit.
Literally forgot.
Oh my god.
It's just negligence.
He hasn't been wiping his ass, has he? Oh.
I'm too busy thinking about wiping my own ass. And then I forgot to sort you out. No, I wouldn't. Yeah.
All in all, I think this is a pretty bad idea.
Yeah. Would you get an AI system?
You should.
Maybe.
It could be interesting to live like based on an AI
algorithm.
Decisions, couldn't it? I mean,
I think it'd be the closest to making your own decisions.
Yeah, there could be a future where you pay for better and better algorithms to make better and better choices for you. I mean, I don't think it's very far away, and I'm sure there's lots of investment and index funds that use some element of AI to keep a track of the markets. But essentially, if somebody said, hey, we've got this really great AI with all of these data inputs that's really good at predicting like stock market trends, you just have to subscribe to the AI and it'll give you tips. Like that is of course, if somebody had created that AI, they just use it for themselves. But if they did provide it as a service,
it's the genie in a bottle.
If they did provide it as a service, then you could subscribe to it, and then one day that could expand further into how do I make the best life decisions. And I mean, so
what happens if everyone
does those exist
has that,
though? I feel like they exist.
Has that.
Yeah, we have algorithms and modeling software to do all sorts of things, and like I say, they're already used by investment companies and firms and hedge funds as well as part of the consideration. I'm not sure they're entirely relied upon, but
outside of the realm of finances and stocks, say this AI controls, like, you're going into a shop, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're looking at the dessert aisle, and the AI's like, you shouldn't buy any of these things. Head over to the healthy vegetable aisle. And then you're like, well, fuck off. No, I want a dessert. Well, and you pick it up, it's like, no, error.
And then it just shocks you.
The dessert down.
And it sends a shock into the base of your
shocked.
Neck.
Like, yeah. Level of, like, because it's all well,
well you have
having
a choice
an AI
in this situation. So you would just...
Oh, you don't have a choice.
Yeah, you would just... I mean, if you would like a choice in this hypothetical situation, but if you're thinking about, you know, hiring an AI to teach... I mean, you
yeah,
know...
Yeah, this hiring.
You know what's good and bad to eat, and ultimately, if you've got agency, it's your decision. Like, you know, it's like using MyFitnessPal or something like that. You know... By this point, you're a grown adult. You've done enough in sort of research into food and things like that. You understand when you're not eating well.
Yeah, but that doesn't change whether you eat well or not.
Well, you're just asking for take away your free will so you stop making bad decisions.
Isn't that exactly what the AI thing is?
No, the AI thing is suggesting you the best way to live your life. And then you're saying, well, what if I'm following that, but then I go down an aisle and I see a dessert and it's like, no, don't take that because that's not the best way. And I still do. I'm like, well, you're just making a decision to go against the AI that you asked to make your life the best.
You're rebelling.
Yeah.
You're fighting the AI in your head.
Rebelling or, you know, fighting temptation because, yes, I have very clear an understanding of what's right and wrong. Doesn't mean I always make the right decision.
No.
Because I'm hungry. Mama hungry and I want a dessert. I don't want to eat. I know that leeks are better for me than like a trifle, but sometimes I want a fucking trifle.
Your shopping choice must be fucking nuts. Leeks or trifle? Two completely bizarre. How often do you eat
healthy,
trifle?
Healthy, unhealthy.
I think I've had trifle about 15 years. When was the last time you ate trifle?
I don't know.
I don't remember last time I had trifle.
Fucking 1950s.
But I think is technology not going that way anyway to start dictating what you should be doing? And people are like, well, yeah, I'll just let this tell me what to do. Or I guess you can pre-program it to do a set of tasks that you should be following. But yeah, that will probably get to a point where it's just like, you know, I've been following this, new iOS or whatever that literally tells me what to do every fucking second of the day.
Or it's like the Breathe app and the Stand Up app and all that shit that you can
exactly. Oh my god, Stand Up one.
It's already here and how many of us have turned it off?
I've turned it off.
Loads of people. I know it's good for me.
But it's only just begun
properly,
so think about where it gets to. When the Neuralink starts.
I feel like you just check out from it. Because if it's so intrusive like that and it's constant, like every decision is like, maybe you should not do that and do this instead of like, have you taken a moment to think about this?
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off. I'm doing something else. Like, this is not what I'm into right now. You just turn it off.
I picture that being like in the future. Like if you, they, you know, put those, you know, camera in your eyes or whatever and the Neuralink thing. So you basically got a UI system that would be or like basically what's inside the Iron Man's mask. You'll be walking down the aisle and it'll just basically just like have a little green light next to something it suggests for you or maybe a recipe suggestion. And I imagine that's where you start like making decisions based on an algorithm and based on a piece of tech. So then that will be doing the job for you.
Anyway.
And you'll be like, well, we are doing it now. But I'm just saying like in the future, I imagine that's going to be, you know, 10 times what it is now.
Even more.
I think decisions will be made. It's more like, well, instead of
this is calculating the correct thing. So I'm doing it.
It's basically taking out that extra step that we're doing right now, which is essentially when you come to cook, you Google the best recipe and you're looking through the search engine for like what's got the highest ratings and stuff. That AI is essentially skimming that all for you, scraping like based on like your previous preferences and also the amalgamated research on reviews. And this seems like the best worded article without two paragraphs of fluff of story about how they developed it with their grandparent. This is the great recipe for you. So it's basically taking all that work out, essentially, of you using Google. Which removes the idea of you of choice as well, because it's like, well, this is the decision you would have made based on like our AI. You don't get really, and like you would start using it, right? Because it's easier. And
well,
therefore...
I mean, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because, like, ultimately, you could perhaps choose the calculated best outcomes for you for your particular set of desires. However, the more you adhere to that AI, the less free will you have. And ultimately, you're just trusting, yeah, exactly, that it has your best interests at heart and it will end well. And I don't know, we don't have a huge amount of evidence to suggest that that does actually end well, because, you know, social media hasn't gone that well in terms of helping humanity, really. I mean,
no, it hasn't. And also, like, AI is based on input, right? Data, information, and it learns through changes. Whereas if you just adhere to it over time, the AI is not getting any better necessarily. You're just like agreeing to the things that it gives you straight away. So you're not giving it any new information. It's like, oh, interesting, you made a unique decision there. I'll update the AI neural network to accommodate your new thought patterns and decision making. Whereas if you just like, it's like Wall-E. Have you seen Wall-E recently?
Not recently.
Where they're literally on the little pods and they're not even moving. They're just like being guided around. Consumers. And then it's like on screen, everything changes. Like the blue slushies are now red and everyone's turns red. It's like, oh, and they start drinking it. They've literally thought about that at Pixar already.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a, not a particular... I mean, Wall-E's an overrated film. I'm going to say it's completely overrated. It's... Yes, it's just a series of smack you in the face metaphors for problems with humanity. Yes, people are becoming fat and they're being driven around in chairs. You know, like it was. Yeah, it's consumerism. It's just consumerism taken to an extreme. And I mean, not everybody is going to be like that. You're always going to have outliers. You're always going to have people who want to resist against the status quo. So the idea, I mean, the only way that that exists in Wall-E is if they eradicated all of the people that didn't want to be fat chair people. All right, and you're telling me the fat chair people won a war against people who didn't want to be fat chair people? No way, man. No way.
I don't think that's the story of Wall-E, though.
No, but it should
be. I think you're looking at like a very specific thing of the film, and that's the main part of the film. It's not.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that yeah, I didn't find that a particularly like eye-opening metaphor. But then,
I don't think it was meant to be. I think it was meant to be like, huh, they're all stuck in this space station. They have been for so long, and they've got so accustomed to this life up here that. They're all just
useless.
Sat in a chair.
They're all non-human beings now because they're just consumers.
And they've, over the generations, they've become.
Isn't it because Earth is just littered with shit?
And they just escaped. And they were meant to return to Earth when the Wall-E robots were meant to clean it all up. But then it never happened.
But they took way too long. The Wall-E guys, they are just so inefficient. I mean, you can
tell.
They
need to be bigger.
They need to be much larger. They need to be much larger robots.
Yeah.
Should we do a quick ad break and then segue into the second hypothetical? Sure.
I can't wait. Let's do a quick ad break and we'll be back shortly.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Man, that was really short. If you're a Patreon subscriber, or maybe you were lucky and you didn't get an ad at all, so thank you. Let's move on, shall we? There's a second Patreon, which kind of ties in with the whole decision-making AI, which we could briefly skirt over before we move on to funny news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so, super quick. Well, because it's kind of a little bit about what we've been talking about, which is, say you have a kid, brackets, lol, would you have a free chip put in your child's brain to provide all basic knowledge of math, language, hit and history facts, etc.?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, so they immediately have knowledge of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd also be looking for an upgrade to that chip. If there's, like, more than just the basic knowledge, they've immediately... So what, they learn it, or it's just, like, a database in their head where they can recall it if they need to? Which I guess is learning it.
Consider it like a smart and always updating government-approved... You know, like, how education is given out to schools. Mm-hmm. This is, like, the current... education that all children should receive.
Edu-chip.
That is what's... Edu-chip.
That'd be incredible.
That's what's given to kids, and it's updated.
There's got to be a downside to this, because you can't just have the gift of basic knowledge being fed without really any real work involved.
They have to have a massive door cut on the top of their head when they're a baby.
There it is. That's pretty big downside, but I think... Are you the first to take this challenge on, or has this already existed for some time? Because I feel like I wouldn't want to be the guinea pig.
You're part of the first human trials.
Okay. Ah, he's not more intelligent. Something's gone wrong here.
I don't think people would do
it. Mr. Ross Hornby.
It's such a massive
risk. We have elected you.
Isn't it? For your kids' life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
If it was...
Also, I wouldn't do it if it's like a Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, Elon Musk pipe dream. Because
it's going to be someone's pipe
dangerous.
Dream. Just cause, well, or if it, you mean a faceless corporation instead, which is that even better?
I mean, I don't want to go down the capitalist rant route. However, this is the problem we're living right now, is the people that are trying to be, trying, I put in quote marks, progressive and making waves in technological feats such as Neuralink are in the hands of megalomaniacs who are essentially in control of their own private trials, which aren't approved by any sort of body. They're a private company that are allowed to do private secret things, and they're releasing that to the mass public? That's okay? Like, where are the sanctions there? Where is, like, the science-approved shit that, like, goes through,
usual
checks, like a vaccine would?
They still would have to put
for something
through.
Involving kids. This would take, like, fucking years years to get approval.
But it's still kind of scary that it's the head of it is a person that makes tweets
that does it,
like
does it for money. Yeah.
Ultimately. And also whether...
entirely for money,
And some governments might not want you being... smart from the get-go. Smarter than them. I had to work to get my knowledge and they're just getting straight away. What's going on?
I think ultimately, like, as much as Musk uses his platform to say, like, I want us to be an interplanetary species, a multiplanet species, and I think we want to solve, Parkinson's and other degenerative diseases by our Neuralink, I think that's all marketing bullshit, and ultimately he just cares about his bottom line. Like, he wants to be the guy that's, like, known for making these massive breakthroughs and be the richest guy doing it, rather than he doesn't actually care about the individual, I don't think. Mm. And I think he would monetize the Neuralink where possible.
Yeah.
And that would be scary.
Well, especially once you've had it installed, you've had it installed. This is the issue with this, is if you started installing lizard chips into kids' heads, it's like... you could have an army on your hands. They could change the software and suddenly, bam, they will just...
And is it going to be worth it, I suppose? Like, if somebody put a chip in my head that allowed me to fly, I'd be like, right, that's a pretty big upgrade. But, like...
fucking hell.
Fly as in learn how to pilot or fly physically, fly like Superman?
Fly like...
It just turns out I had to think about it. I can fly.
It's all just subjective, guys. Yeah. It turns out we needed chips to allow us to manipulate our own simulation.
Shit. It's a hack chip.
Yeah, but for sure. Because you just imagine, like, 10 years down the line, like, you've got the chip from 2020 and it's now 2030. And they're like, because it's like in the game Deus Ex, the original ones, there was people who got the mods quite early on versus people who were getting new mods later on in their development. And the new mods are much less obvious. You know, they're a much more elegant design. Whilst the earlier mods were very, just bolting something, like Borg style, sticking stuff to the front of your head. And I think that very much will be the reality of it. I think that as the technology progresses...
A wealth disparity.
That as well. I mean, looking at this, this is designer babies again, isn't it? What we're talking about here. Would you put a chip in your kid's head?
In a way, yeah.
I think I 100% am behind designer babies, though.
Adults' heads first. Before I went to the kids.
Yeah, probably. Although, what happens if it could only be fitted in a developing brain, rather than a...
Oh, yeah. But the fact that, language as well, learning other languages and just having that in your database...
Amazing.
Well, that would change for, communication in general.
Yeah.
And how
it would advance
how,
the human race.
You know, world leaders talk to each other might be a different rather than through a translation, which isn't always the cleanest way, right?
You wouldn't need translation in between. There would be a middleman, or a reliant on a technology to translate. You would just inherently know how that language works. Mm-hmm. And so there wouldn't be a breakdown in communication. That would be quite a benefit, in my opinion. But at the same time, though, you got a subscription service and you're like, well, if you want the extra language package, you're going to have to, if you want the best for your child, you're going to have to pay for the premium package because that's the way we've monetized the Neuralink.
Yeah.
and that's how it's going to go. It's like there's not going to be any real progression. Like the wealthy will be multilingual, very smart, like people in Oxford, ultimately, because they're privileged and have the money to go there.
Just enhanced.
And go to university. And then you'll still have people that can't afford the top line Neuralink. They'll have the basic package, which teaches them what you learn in schools anyway. So are we really going to be
it's a time saver,
that
though,
much
it?
Better off?
If you could learn everything you learned at school,
if we could eradicate school in its current form,
maybe
I'd be for it.
Maybe social skills would be better. Or, I don't know,
maybe
there'd be better
like
time to spend on
balancing hormones and stuff like that, and
other
like
things.
Mitigating early depression or like trauma, like dealing with that. Like if something bad happens to a kid, say something that like it seems trivial at the time, but it's like one of those memories that like creates a butterfly effect of problems in the future. What if the Neuralink is aware of that and like sends a load of dopamine to be like, it's okay, calm me down, and it doesn't become a traumatic episode.
If it becomes more like be a pacemaker. Good. I think that's the, that's the ideal implementation of the technology at this point, isn't it? It's a bit like
balancing.
You
brain.
Brought up Parkinson's earlier, and there's already technology that stimulates the brain. You know, you can.
It's called marijuana.
No, it's not. Not marijuana.
And what for Parkinson's?
If anything, you'd want something that produces a dopamine burst for a Parkinson's patient. But like things that clip onto the brain to help stimulate. What it does is it eliminates interference.
Interference. Yeah.
So like there's a lot of the judders and shakes from Parkinson's comes from essentially faulty signals or irregular movement signals. So
constant signals.
Yeah. So the muscles are like, what should I be doing? And then this essentially evens them out, which is amazing.
It's amazing. Like watching the videos.
It's amazing.
Like,
yeah.
They literally have a device where they switch it on and they're shaking and then it just slowly and they can start eating cereal, and it's amazing.
So yeah, hopefully one day.
So yeah, more stuff like that.
Would you like to hear the Harry Potter news?
Oh yeah, throw the Harry Potter news.
Would you like to squeeze
Harry
that
Potter
in a moment?
News. Sure. Yeah.
From hypotenuse to Harry Potter news.
Hypotenuse.
Very good,
nice.
Ross. Isn't very good.
Yeah.
You must be so proud.
Well, not we didn't talk about maths that much, so should I be?
No.
Not really.
No. I just really thought they worked.
Okay, I'm just trying to find a specific news article before I Harry Potter. The guy that plays the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child actor got fired for being inappropriate.
Oh,
that's what happened.
Right, that's the news, is it?
So you know the guy that played Harry Potter in the theatre show. He got fired.
Well, I don't know that guy, but yeah.
You don't know me neither, but I was like, oh man. Yeah, so Harry Potter himself has been discharged from the theatre.
Not HP.
For being inappropriate. I can't remember. I remember how. I don't think
it's inappropriate. I'm guessing it
like,
was this.
Inappropriate
like
towards fellow cast. Yeah, I think so.
Dear God. Wow.
I'm trying
so it's
to
not. It's not maybe. A funny news.
It's not funny.
But it's topical with the Harry Potter
an actor's
thing.
Been fired from the Broadway production of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child following a complaint about his conduct.
What did he do?
I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just quickly nipping through
He started swearing. Fuck off, Ron!
Yeah.
Did he play Harry?
Fuck Hermione!
He played
fuck
Harry.
Fuck you!
Yeah. Oh, he did play Harry. Oh my god, maybe he got an ego trip. I just thought he was the big ball.
Fuck me.
Maybe.
You're not Daniel! Fuck you!
Yeah,
maybe he just got on his high horse and treated the other cast members like shit.
That was the only bit of Harry Potter news I had that wasn't, you know... It's just that this is a Harry Potter-themed podcast, number one.
And
I thought, oh, what have I thought about that's Harry Potter-based that isn't J.K. Rowling giving another terrible hot take? Which one is it?
Well, Ron Weasley and Hermione's actors really get together in real life. Unlikely.
Very, very unlikely. Very unlikely.
It's a big no.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely.
That's a big no.
It's not happening.
I don't know what Emma Watson's up to, but she is just Rupert Grint. She's not grunting for Grint.
She's not grunting for Grint.
Yeah.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
From what I've heard of Ross and Smith having watched the reunion.
Yeah. It's not that. I guess it's not that bad, but like, there is definitely some moments where you're like, Grint is on the table. And
Grint
she's just like very Hollywood, like very like, oh, you're lovely.
And then, great friends.
And then Grint gave the impression that he'd spent, you know, the last 10 years sitting down in a cold, quiet room rewatching Harry Potter's again.
Yeah.
Okay. That was me.
This is the best years of my life. I don't live
without the format of a film being made around me.
Christ, no, I'm pretty sure he stars in other stuff.
He does, yeah. Maybe. He knows he's peaked.
Yeah.
Peaked but in your childhood.
Most child actors should know that.
They should.
It's a big possibility. But it's hard to... You can't prepare for that when you're a kid.
Yeah, but I'm sure he could mop up his kids with his piles and piles of cash. You know, never having to, you know, take on any of the challenges. I mean, the main three definitely have piles and piles of cash.
But was it Tom Felton who kind of got into some troubles? Felton.
Did he?
Yeah. I think he spent a load of his cash. One of them got into gambling or something. One of them just made poor investments.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I was relying on that Harry Potter money.
Didn't?
Who's that?
The child actor from Malcolm in the Middle.
Ah, yeah.
Who we all think had loads of concussion and can't remember Malcolm in the Middle.
Frank Muniz.
Apparently you can.
Oh, yeah, Frank Muniz, yeah.
Apparently he made some fantastic decisions and he is minted.
Good for him.
Like, his family told him to, like, invest it and not touch it for a long time. I think that was a child trust anyway, where you can't actually access the money after a certain period because kids shouldn't have that much money, according to certain laws. But then anyway, he started like buying property and shit in like really up and coming big areas in America, which then became like massively gentrified, and he earned a ton of money. I was listening to Steve-O.
Oh, yeah, Steve-O.
He has like a little show where he... His brings dog. People into his RV,
yeah,
and then has little chats.
I listened to that the other day as well, but like, there's only so much of his voice I can now tolerate. Oh, it's so Steve-O. Like strained, and I know, and I just feel like it makes me feel like my throat sore. Do you know what I mean? When you hear something, you're like,
"Someone, what was it like when you were doing this gig?"
And it's just like, oh man, like I just want to clear your throat or something. I know, obviously, you can't help it, but it's just it makes me feel like my throat sore. I don't know why that
voice,
is.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I've listened to
drug
that
before. Abuse. So he's come around the other side. He's a very well-rounded gent. He's actually quite a good host, and he seems very interested in the people he brings on, which is better than Joe Rogan.
It says here Frankie Muniz has several like accolades here. So, actor, film producer, race car driver, musician, voice actor, drummer, screenwriter, television producer.
Well.
So, and he's apparently worth a net worth of $30 million. So there you go.
I think like the people around him. He had Bryan Cranston as well. I mean. On set, if that's not like an amazing father figure to have on set, holy shit!
Hasn't he had his fair share of like kind of, you know, public meltdowns as well, though?
With Muniz,
I feel like that has been a thing in the past.
Unsurprising,
but
well, it's come out that
he's
had,
clearly
like,
doing all right now. So fair play.
Yeah, he came around, and he's got a lot of money. So good on him. Any other funny news?
This isn't necessarily funny news, but it surprised me because I actually watched this recently. So Fight Club was recently released in China on one of the streaming services, and they didn't like the ending of Fight Club. Now, if you're familiar with the ending, I mean, how old is the film now?
It's a
I don't
massive spoil spoiler,
anything,
so.
But basically, they completely changed the ending to have like a really happy ending where, you know, the police win. Okay, so that's all I'll say. And it's just like, it's very strange that they've gone to those lengths to actually re-edit it. And I'd like to see
it
this version.
It changes
the
entire purpose of the story.
It does, But obviously China doesn't want, you know, any anti-establishment kind of themes,
sentiment.
I guess, in the content. So they've changed the end of the movie.
God, imagine brainwashing an entire nation of people. I mean, I know that there's probably many, many, many skeptics in China still, but like when you're like, right, we need to make sure that they know that they can't win. That is just... horrible, isn't it, really? I mean,
the fact that it's also possible in like this day and age when I guess they've got control of the internet, so what goes in and out to a degree, obviously there's ways around it, but the majority wouldn't know how to do that. But like the ability to like not have access to the wider world and be like, holy shit, you're being indoctrinated by your regime of a government. Jesus.
Well, you can't scary. You can't even talk about it. They were doing an interview with somebody recently from China, and they were just saying, you know, oh, like there's no problem here, like, you know, everyone's happy with the way it's run, there's no complaints. And it's like, well, but no one can complain.
That's
the issue. Because if there's no one's allowed to complain, or there's a fear
I'm pretty
of
sure
complaining,
there are big protests.
I'm pretty sure. Exactly.
Massive protests.
This guy was like, no, the Chinese people are happy with everything that's going on. No one's complaining. It's like, well, Yeah, because if they did, they'll fucking disappear suddenly.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not exactly
or at least not succeed. There's another side to it. It's not just the stick. There's also the carrot, which is essentially people with higher social credit scores, as in this system that they've been using to monitor people's activity in China, will potentially get offered better jobs, will, you know, get more support. Will
rewarded for complying
and for promoting compliance and, you know, for being... Yeah, it's a little bit like being a crypto bro or a person pushing NFTs, which I... What was I reading? Somebody else has done NFTs now. A bunch of people are doing... Oh, that was it. Jimmy fucking Fallon. You know, the guy with the fake laugh on fucking...
Well, he talked about his, which is an issue because they said that...
It does account.
It could be considered like promoting your own material and bumping the value of that thing.
100%. And it is.
It's like saying, I've got stocks in this. Go buy some now. It's like, that's the same thing, really.
It is exactly the same. And it should be based on that. But like him going like, oh, I've got my own ape. You know, he's got one of those stupid fucking ape things. They apparently paid $200 million for something like that. No, wait, no, that can't be right.
200K, I think.
200K, sorry, yeah. What? I was going to say, not 200 million.
Eye-watering, isn't it?
200K, and like, it's just like, right, people listening right now, just don't do NFTs. If we don't buy into it, if people don't buy into it, the only way that this is going to become a thing as if enough people do it, because then it just creates another economy. And I think, I like to think that a lot of this, like, ape shit is mainly just rich people trading things with rich people. You know, I'm pissed off because no, I mean, that's it, really. I just don't think that crypto, to me, makes more sense than NFT does, and you know, I understand why people can like use it within systems, within marketplaces, to provide digital accountability for things. I understand that value too, but just this whole thing of like, you don't need to own a picture of an ape. The only reason you want to own that picture of that ape is for its potential speculative value in the future. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't give you anything. It's not transactional. Like, anyway, yeah, what are you going to say, Trot?
I really dislike how NFTs and cryptocurrency have become synonymous with the technologies that drive them.
Yeah.
And therefore, anytime anyone mentions crypto or... shit, what is like the ledger and
blockchain?
What is that technology?
Blockchain.
The blockchain. Mm-hmm. Anytime blockchain is mentioned, it's always associated with Bitcoin and therefore NFTs and therefore crypto bros who are, you know, destroying the environment and just really rich kids throwing around JPEGs. Mm-hmm. When really, like, Web 3.0, which has been developed with the sole purpose of trying to decentralize these massive companies like Amazon and Google owning servers in centralized places all around the world, it would be essentially a case of sharing that information across everyone's computer.
Device-based.
And thus, it wouldn't be owned by any particular massive corporation that get to vet and filter that information to you. Instead, everyone would have access to the same information and you couldn't gatekeep it.
Yeah.
That's the idea of Web 3.0, and I like that idea. However, it's been ruined by the image that NFTs have created on that same thing. And it's going to be difficult to make that image like good for the general populace again, which is a real shame because, of course, companies like Google and Amazon are going to allow this NFT shit to carry on because they want to continue their centralized servers where they have control over everyone's information. And essentially their internet is on their servers. Like, all of Google's search engine stuff that you've ever searched is going to their servers first. It's not being vetted and checked and acknowledged by everyone else's PC to be like, you know what, that's not actually good information, and it's all going to Google. But yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Like you say, like, all this shit's hosted on like Amazon owned servers a lot of the time.
And they can just like change anything whenever they want. It's in their hands. It's in a private company's hands. The entire internet is privately owned, technically, because of the massive companies that have grown to provide all these services for you.
So who owns the cables that run from country to country? Who owns it? Is it just a shared ownership between those two countries that it connects to?
Sure,
or is it the internet? Or is it a specific internet company that owns that cable, the undersea cables? Because then that's, you know, you've literally got the cable that connects everyone in a certain area. So they had to replace Tonga's recently.
Until Starlink comes in, yeah. And more like wireless transmission.
Yeah, I'm just like transatlantic Starlink, cable right? communications. Yeah, but Starlink doesn't look like it's going to go. Like, Starlink's already caused a bunch of fucking issues. You know, there's the problem with having so many mini satellites up there is it's cluttering the fuck out of our immediate space. You know, and they say one of Elon Musk's rockets is going to hit the moon. Apparently, have you heard about that?
Intentionally?
I say Elon Musk, not intentionally. They
just got a loose rocket.
Yeah, shit. So like, yeah, there's a lot of these problems with Starlink. I don't think Starlink's going to go that much further, if I'm honest with you. I mean, we'll see. But by the sounds of things, there are just too many issues with having that many microsatellites in orbit for like everybody else. So I imagine, you know, be it research-based stuff, communications-based stuff, military-based stuff. Like, there's too many interests involved, I think, for it to continue to expand based on more and more microsatellites.
I found the rocket on the moon thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a rocket that was launched in 2015 and put into orbit a NASA satellite called the Deep Space Climate Observatory. Mm. The second stage of the rocket or booster has been floating in the what the mathematicians call a chaotic orbit.
Right.
And basically it's on course to hitting the moon with no real effect. Obviously there's no real issue with it hitting the moon. Yeah. But yeah, that was 2015. So they've just been tracking it and just tracking these pieces.
Jeez.
That is on course for just landing on the moon. So it's just going to be a bit of junk
positive
up there.
Positive news though.
A bit of rubbish up there before anyone else gets there.
Oh yeah. Trash. The James Webb Space Telescope. Mm. Holy shit.
Is that finished?
That's a monumental achievement. Well, it's almost in full position.
Yeah.
And my God, if you look into just how nuanced and detailed and specific, like every step needed to
be.
Yeah.
So many points.
Is insane. It's going to hopefully herald a whole new era of breakthroughs of like how the hell the universe works.
I know, that'd be so cool. Because if they suddenly just like switch it on and they're like, what the fuck is that thing? And they're just like, oh my God, that's been like so close to us this entire time, but we just couldn't see it because of our technology and shit or whatever. I'm excited to see what they
do. But the orbit it does is what fascinates me is they've managed to get it on, I can't remember, it's like beyond the moon, I think. There's an L2 orbit basically where it gets trapped in a gravity well that spins behind. I think it's always eclipsed by either the moon or the Earth, so that it keeps extremely cool.
Mm. Okay.
And it's managed to find an orbit that not only goes around, but also like rotates in itself.
So, more like
so it's always, this is the Lagrange point two. Lagrange point two.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Like, if you look at that and how they managed to just place it there, it's incredible.
Yeah, there's so many. Yeah, exactly. Orbital mechanics and all that sort of stuff, I think, is what that is. Is it based on orbital mechanics? But absolutely, yeah. If you go on, if you search, if you're interested, where is Webb? And then there's a NASA website.
It's got all the stats.
It's just got lots of different things. It's about 5 days out from being at its like perfect distance from Earth, I think.
Or very close, yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see some crazy shit. I mean, imagine if we discovered life on another planet. Imagine how cool that would be, regardless of what it is.
Well, also, it gets to see the beginnings of the universe because of its position and the blue shift or red shift. It goes beyond the point that the Hubble was able to go and would pick up the light signals from early in our universe, which is nuts. But if you look at the hot side and cold side of the telescope, it just shows how amazing the technology is. On the hot side, it's like 130 Fahrenheit. And on the cold side, it's -348. It's crazy. And that's the part that needs to be extremely cool for all the really intricate technologies to work, the sensors. Which is awesome. That's cool.
There's also been a major breakthrough in using a cutting-edge laser to bring fusion energy closer than ever.
God damn.
So fusion energy is the sustained reaction, essentially, from, I think in this case they're using hydrogen molecules, but it's essentially splitting the atom, I suppose you'd call it. But it's a self-sustaining reaction. So once the initial energy is inputted, we generate ridiculous amounts of energy like that in the center of our sun, over and over and over again. And an advanced laser lab, where was it? National Ignition Facility. They heated up a BB-sized hydrogen isotope to many times the temperature of the core of the sun. They created the pressure necessary to trigger the fusion process in hydrogen, which then heated the material of its own accord by a significant fraction of a megajoule without the aid of other sources of heat. It's the opposite of splitting, sorry.
Right. Fusing. Yeah, but, I
mean,
makes sense.
Again, it's just another step. I mean, we've been making progress towards this version of energy production for decades now, and it's
that would be cool.
Getting closer and closer. I mean, something like this, something like, you know, and the James Webb Telescope might help us to understand more things about it. You know, the Large Hadron Collider was one of those technologies. This new technology might help us understand how things were formed and made better, and that might allow us to understand more things about energy generation, which may help us solve climate change, because as soon as we get the infinite energy problem sorted,
nice.
We can turn off all of the fucking dirty coal and things like that.
You know what could also help calculate climate change fixes? Quantum computers. Apparently there's a massive breakthrough in the ability to mass produce quantum computers now.
Yeah.
So I don't know the details, but apparently they've solved an issue where it was very difficult for quantum computers to be mass produced.
And it makes it much more likely that we'll have something called the digital apocalypse, where the the power of quantum computers allows us to decrypt anything. So most privacy and most transactional technology on the internet is based on encryption, making them secure, right? So be it banking, or, you know, be it your iCloud, or all those pictures of your penis you've got hidden somewhere or another, all of that thing will be crackable in seconds using quantum computing. So they're like, shit, that's the problem.
You need quantum security before we have quantum computers.
Yeah.
Should be the first thing they need to try and make.
Yeah.
Shit.
So,
well, that's all that to look forward to in our not too distant future, hopefully. We'll see. Christ.
Interesting time.
Maybe back up all your private information onto hardware of some kind and get it off the internet.
Get off the clouds. Empty your clouds. Clear them out.
Get your clouds out.
The clouds are emptying suddenly.
And that's about it for the podcast today. Mm-hmm. We've once again gone past our loosey-goosey 40 minutes. We always want to do a little bit more and wrap up the conversations where possible. So, we'll call it there for the Harry Potter podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope you got your Harry Potter fix of the week.
Number one.
Raise your wands with us as we...
raise your wands, everybody. And let us know Patronum which house you're in. Yeah. good luck finding your Patronums and all that.
Yeah,
and thanks again to Edward, a.k.a. Philbert Picklesworth, who will sound us out with the complete tune that they created to round off the theme of Harry Potter.
Good quality.
And we'll be here next week.
Yes.
And we might be continuing our foray of streaming further, so you should really go to twitch.tv/hatfilms and... check us out there, because we do crazy stuff now.
Oh, it's cool. Crazy. Insane.
It is crazy. All right. Have a great week, everyone. See you next Friday.
Ta-ra.
Goodbye for now.